All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a back pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
Moments notice. Adams leaves
to the line. Hughes jars.
Yes, existence. Take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
Here, like I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down.
Wow, we should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. Zephyr Epic, they got their Series 2 tins back in stock, so be sure to check them out, zephyrepic.com. Use our promo code, HockeySeason, all one word, capital H, capital S, HockeySeason at zephyrepic.com to get you $5 off your order and free shipping to all of Canada, from east to west, north to south, over to Vancouver Island, Newfoundland, probably.
Okay.
They can get it. Free shipping, all Canada. I'll bring in my co-host. Well, first of all, my name is Chris Faber. I'll bring in my co-host, David Quadrelli. Quads, how you doing, man? Big, lots to talk about, I think. And I think a lot of it's going to be from two of the articles that you and I dropped today on Canucks Army, to be 100% honest.
Yeah, it is. You know what's funny about this, Chris, is last week we debuted a new segment on our show, an editorial segment. We're still trying to come up with names. I think we've gotten over 100 suggestions now, and none of them have stuck. You know, not to hate on anybody who sent us suggestions, we really appreciate it, but none of them have been like, we're just, we say to ourselves, oh, this is perfect. This is the one. We haven't found it yet.
You know what? So, I saw one for me.
Yeah.
Chris is pissed.
I like that.
We'll see. I'm not really mad.
Yeah, you're not an angry person. Like, that's just not your internal nature.
I'm not gonna change it overnight.
No, one could never. Basically, what this started as, this article that I wrote today, it was an editorial about the coaching staff. And I was going to talk today about how important it was to bring Travis and Ian Clark back. And I just started kind of writing it out, nothing serious, just, you know, writing what I was going to say on the show. And I was like, this is an article. Like, I can turn this into an article. I had a quote from Jim about how badly they wanted to bring back all the coaching staff. And I was like, you know what? Enough's enough. Like, that's kind of what I said to myself. And that's the first line that I wrote in the story was enough is enough. And I was pretty happy with the way it turned out. I got to be honest, live right now at Canucks Army. And you also had a really good article about Nils Höglander and his 5-on-5 production.
Yeah, we'll get to Höglander a little bit later. But let's stick with the coach staff, because it just feels like, you know, I feel like we've been saying this all season long, but the more days that we go by here without a contract, there's got to be a lot more options opening up for Travis Green. We're seeing that week by week, more job openings starting to happen. You know, we saw the Torts firing. We saw what happened with the Rangers. There's more jobs and good jobs.
You know who has money?
The Rangers. Who doesn't want to be a coach in New York,
yeah,
Madison Square Garden, when you're back to having fans in the arena? Who wouldn't want to coach for the Rangers with what they have and those players?
Yep.
You know, is Travis the number one available coach after this year, now that Brendan Moore signed? Like, young, kind of up and coming, because you're not, you know, there's obviously the recycling coaches and there's a lot of those guys, but it's hard to put up, you know, the way that Travis has been able to coach young players and his development into the NHL as a coach. He's got a good looking resume.
Yeah, you know, he does. He absolutely does. And he's well regarded around the league. But the Rangers have said they want to go with an experienced coach. I look at a guy like Gerard Gallant, who hasn't been working for a while, but is an experienced coach who has respect around the league. Travis, I don't know. He's just not there yet. Like, he's well-respected. I think there's a fit, absolutely, in a place like Anaheim. There's a few other places around the league that Travis could absolutely fit in. I just don't know if the Rangers are willing to target Travis, because they want experience. They've been open about that, and they have the money to sign whoever they want, really. So,
you know what they also have money for? And I know that we've heard the rumors to Florida, but with the young goaltenders that they have there,
yeah,
Ian Clark to the Rangers makes a lot of sense too.
It does. Well, and Ian Clark to a lot of places makes sense.
Ian Clark anywhere makes a lot of sense. If Ian Clark wants to go coach in the KHL, he could go coach.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you have goalies? Ian Clark is a good fit for you.
But I think that's even still, like, we'll touch on Ian Clark a little bit, but Travis deserves to have that contract back. And I just think that looking at what we've seen throughout the season so much, like, he's been the guy to come out and talk about the allegations at Jake Virtanen. He's been the guy to come out and talk every single day to the media, from a wide variety of topics, through COVID to players playing to anything that's happening off ice. They've put him out to the podium every single day. And, you know, there's been battles back and forth. I wouldn't call them like battles, but, you know, media battles between Travis and people in the media. And we see it week to week with his, you know, the way that he answers some questions and certain questions and stuff like that. But, you know, in the end, you got to give props to Travis, because he's came out every day. Like, he probably, well, you know, like 6 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, some weeks he doesn't come out. They'll have a travel day. But any other day, he's out there talking to media. And we've heard from Jim Benning, what, twice?
Yeah.
Was it maybe three times?
And we only hear from Francesco Aquilini when the Canucks win. And we only hear it from him on Twitter.
And I think that's where I'd like to go with this for you, and just to see, like, you know, Jim seems to have aligned himself, or sorry, Travis has aligned himself with Jim in some of his recent comments as well, you know, of him and Travis, or Travis saying that him and Jim, they want to work together. He wants to be here in Vancouver. Jim wants him as the coach. That was something you put in your article, the quote that Jim says in there. Is it Aquilini that's slowing down the process right now?
Yes. How is this? Yeah. Everybody knows this. This is this. Okay. You don't have the coach.
Though? I don't get why.
Because he doesn't have the money, man. They've lost so much money. Alex Blair of Sportsnet 650. He said that they're losing around 20 to 30 million. He floated that out there. That's significant, Chris. Like that. Those are significant losses, especially when you're paying Louis Erickson $6 million not to play for the team. And it's partly, mostly, why they didn't do buyouts last offseason, right? Like, the Canucks could have been better this season if they were allowed to have buyouts, but they weren't, Chris. And I don't know if they will this offseason. Is the checkbook going to be open this offseason? Because if it's not, the Canucks are in serious trouble, man. Like, it's not going to be easy for them to improve. And that's kind of what I alluded to in my article is, look, you're not going to be able to revamp the bottom six. It's going to look similar to what it looks like right now. And you're not going to be able to shore up your defense either. So how are you going to make your on-ice product when you have fans in the building likely next year, at some point next year for sure? How are you going to make your on-ice product any better than what it is right now when the Canucks are sitting, what, 28th overall in the league? Like, that's not good enough. You've got Elias Pettersson on the first year of his new deal, Quinn Hughes on the first year of his new deal, Vasily Podkolzin coming to town, and this is the product you're going to put out? Like, this is the best you can do with that supporting cast? Like, That's just not good enough. It's not good enough, Chris. And I'm sorry, like, I get there's financial losses and there's a reason that I don't run million-dollar businesses, but it doesn't seem like good business to let Ian walk or Travis walk when your on-ice product is going to take such a hit. Like, honestly, is there a coach that could get more out of the team than Travis does? I don't know, Chris. Like, people always say, oh, Travis's systems. It's like, watch the games and just look. Travis wasn't yelling from the bench for Alex Edler to stand in the middle with his stick down and let Blake Wheeler walk in last night. Travis wasn't doing that. That's because Alex Edler's old and slow, and he's not the defenseman he once was, but he's still playing top 4 minutes. Like, that's not up to Travis. He can't. That's the personnel he's been given, Chris. And I just don't know if there's a coach who can get more out of this team than Travis has. And again, I look at the bubble. Like, the Canucks' bottom six wasn't good last year. Look at the teams they were up against, Chris. Like, look at this roster construction of the St. Louis Blues. The Canucks managed to beat St. Louis. They managed to take Vegas to Game 7. The roster construction of those teams, the Canucks were not built as well as either of those teams. But they managed to win. And that was largely because Travis got all the players to buy into his system. And, you know, they were buying what he was selling.
It was different hockey that we saw exactly. In the playoffs, right? Like, that was, I think that was the biggest thing that boosts Travis Green's value.
Oh, absolutely.
Was what he did in the playoffs last year as, you know, being able to beat, you know, a tired St. Louis Blues team that was coming off of COVID as well. We can't forget that.
Yep.
But, you know, able to beat that team, beat the Minnesota Wild, the way that they did in the playoffs, they played different. Like, it felt different. And then seeing the adjustment that they really made, it almost took it to, like, the extreme of what Travis wanted to get out of this team when you saw Thatcher Demko in net, because it was all, like, funnel all of your players towards your goaltender, keep the pucks outside, let your goalie make easy saves.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what we saw. And I just feel like that product that he produced in the playoffs from his team didn't only come from Travis Green.
Exactly.
Came from the players too, right?
Demko. Like, Demko was a huge part.
Came from the investment of the players into what their coach that's been coaching a lot of these guys for the last 2 to 3 years was telling them. If you're not happy with the way the Canucks play because of the roster, then you want Travis Green back. And I think that's the biggest problem, like you mentioned, has been what the supporting staff is. If you look at the team and you say, well, they have enough players to be a playoff team, but it's Travis, it's not getting you there, then you have to look for another coach. Exactly. But I don't think that's the problem.
No, exactly.
That's not the problem. It's, you know, look at the lineup right now. Like, look at the lineup right now. You got Highmore in your top six, playing first line, what, 20-plus minutes the other night for Highmore?
Yeah.
How is a coach supposed to get there? Look at what happens when one player is taken out of the lineup and Elias Pettersson. Look what happened to the top six. That's where we're at right now with Highmore there. That's not on the coach. What's the coach supposed to do when one top six player goes down and the whole team is broken? Right? Yeah. Now you have one line that's, you know, the JT Miller line. You're playing JT Miller at center, a spot where he shouldn't be, a spot where he's not at his best as a player. But because of one injury to Elias Pettersson, it has broken this team. And I get that. It's your best player. It's obviously going to make a huge difference. But losing your best player shouldn't break your team if you have a good roster.
No, absolutely.
If you have an okay roster, if you have a poorly built roster, then when you lose your best player, it breaks everything. That's just the way it works, and that's what we've seen this year. I think Travis needs to be re-upped. I think that the investment and the trust that he's got with the star players here, because look what he did to Petey, look what he did to Quinn. When they both came in, there was a lot of trust put in those guys.
Yep.
Look at Nils. Nils is going to be a star in this league.
Even Rathbone. The way he's deployed Rathbone, it's impressive, man. He's giving him top 4 minutes right away. And it's so funny because we were talking on the other episode. And sorry, I don't mean to cut you off kind of change your subject. Please. But when we were talking the other week, we were like, okay, so he's playing Yolevi minutes. He did well. I wonder if he's going to come out of the lineup. I said he shouldn't come out of the lineup for the rest of the year. It doesn't look like he's going to. But for Travis to go ahead and put him in top 4 minutes and, you know, really throwing him, like Travis said in his post game, he said, yeah, it's similar to what we did with Quinn. We're just kind of throwing him into the water and letting him swim. And he's swimming. Like, Rathbone's playing as well. Like, way better than I think we even thought. And we
that
were
first
huge
power play.
Oh, man.
Holy. And yeah. I don't mean like the unit, but they put him on the first power play unit. And that first power play attempt that they had, holy.
It looks so much more dynamic with him there.
It looks good. And I wonder where they go with that, because what we've seen from the second unit this year with the loss of Jake Vertanen and Adam Gaudette, you know, two guys that drove the second power play unit last year, second unit has just been brutal this year. I'm going to have to dig some numbers up on this and see what they've been able to produce, but like, I can't remember the last goal from the second power play unit.
No, I can't. Like,
I can't remember it at all. And, they have some guys there that can create a little bit of offense. Nils Höglander being on that second power play. We'll talk about him in a little bit, maybe in the second half. But going from here, it just feels like I just get the idea that this is the way that my brain is processing everything. Ian Clark's 100% for sure gone. Travis Green's still 50-50 to me in my brain. I don't think that he's leaning towards either way right now. I think that it's going to see what the next pretty much week says about teams, because a lot of teams have finished their seasons already. Coaches are going to be fired, maybe even a couple teams in the playoffs fire their coach after this year, and then I think Travis just looks at everything around him, looks at what the Canucks made him do this year. He's a BC guy. He wants to be here and coach Vancouver. He wants to coach the Canucks. He's talked about it a lot. You want to coach your home province team. That's a huge deal for a Canadian, right? Like, he wants to be the Vancouver coach that gets them over the hump and wins a Stanley Cup. That would be huge. Going back to his hometown, that would be amazing. Take it up to the casino over there. I've been to that casino. It's good. Well, it's not good. But anyways, like, I think that he wants to be the coach here. I don't think he wants to go to another place, but just the other part of it is, like, the respect that's been shown to him, or the lack of. It just, I don't feel like there's any support for him right now. This season, there has been no support for Travis Green from, I mean, there's a little bit from management, actually. Like, you are seeing the support from Jim Benning, but where else is he getting it from? He's probably getting it from his peers that are around his level, but upper management, past Jim Benning, ownership, you got to think that a guy who's doing this much for your group would get some support. Why would you want to return to that job? No, I don't care if you're an NHL coach or a fast food worker at McDonald's. If you're not getting any type of support and you're being thrown out to put in these situations that's hard on you and makes your job even harder, why would you want to come back to it? Like, why, aside from being a Vancouver, like a BC guy, why the hell would he want to come back here?
I think, to answer the question, is Travis really likes the group. Like, he really likes him, likes his players, and he's grown with them, and we've talked about it. He's developed Besser. He's watched the progression of these guys, and, that was Travis that made Elias Pettersson a center when he first got here. Even like media who believed in Elias Pettersson were saying, okay, it's probably smart to start him on the wing. And Travis was like, no, he's a center. And he put him in that position to succeed. And I don't know, Chris, like, to answer the question, that's why he wants to come back, is because he believes in this group, and he knows what he can do with them if they just get to the playoffs, right? And yeah, there was some huge personnel changes over this offseason. And, basically, everything that went wrong for the Canucks this year did go wrong. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And, it's difficult because they started no preseason, ton of games, new players, not knowing systems, having to learn on the fly in games. Like, that's not easy to do. Nate Schmidt talked a lot about that, those struggles that he had at the start of the year. And I'm like, Demko wasn't great to start the year either. And it was still alternating with Holtby, and it wasn't a good situation for either guy at the start of the year. They just weren't getting anything. It was just everybody was struggling at various points, like even the top six to start the
season.
What
was the thing that we saw every day still? Travis being out there having to talk about everything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, that's an NHL coach. That's what you got to do, right?
Sure, but like no support, though.
Absolutely.
In all those times at the start, right, when the roster wasn't, you know, what a lot of people were hoping it could be, did you hear from Jim at all? Like, nothing. You wouldn't hear from Jim when there was all the talk about why isn't Travis signed? Why isn't Ian Clark getting a contract? Nothing. Like, nothing from ownership, nothing from management. I just think that, yeah, he must love this group. And that would, like, I agree with you. That's another good point. That, like, that would be one of the main reasons why he would want to stay here. Being from BC is another main reason. But, like, how much can you hold on to those two things when everything else is just not good?
Yeah.
Like, where do you draw the line? And I think he is going to have to explore other options. You know, I would love to wake up tomorrow morning and see an email from Canucks saying that there's a press conference with Jim Benning to talk about, you know, the extension Travis Green. I'd love to wake up and see that email. But I'm still 50-50 if it's even going to happen. And I don't think it happens soon. I don't think it's going to happen this season. Like, if it's anything, I feel like it comes in the off season. It's going to be a weird negotiation. Do you think there's any chance of Ian Clark coming back, though? Any chance? Like, any percentage? What would you put it at? Because I'm...
To like 30,
I'm under 5.
30, 40%? It's not 50-50. I don't think it's 40% as low as 5.
Up to 40?
40 is probably generous.
There's a real chance of him coming back at all.
Well, okay.
Aside from what you mentioned earlier about Travis liking his players, like, Clark's seen a guy in Thatcher Demko develop into who could arguably be one of the top goaltenders. He's still developing.
Okay.
And that's his guy. But, like, aside from that, why would he want to stay here?
Okay, so the reason that I have it at 30, Jim wants it back. The entire hockey ops department wants him back. The only person that needs to be convinced of this is Francesco and the ownership group, right? Like, that's what's standing in the way. This is a money issue. This isn't, oh, we don't think Ian Clark's done a good job. Like, everybody knows Ian Clark's excelled at the job he's done, right? And, you know, I think you have to push hard. It's doable, but it's all going to be about money in the end, right? And I put it at that chance because Ian wants to stay is the vibe that I get. Like, he likes working with Thatcher, and I wouldn't be overly surprised if there's maybe a plan in place to keep him, because when Thatcher Demko signed Rick Dhaliwal, Donnie and Dolly, the team on Czech TV, talks about how in his contract negotiations, Demko asked about Ian Clark. I don't know the extent of that. I don't know what he asked about, but one can assume that he asked if Ian would be here long term, if he would be here next year, and then Demko signed the deal. Now, I fully understand that what he was probably told was exactly what Jim has said publicly, and that is that we're going to do everything in our power to make sure Ian comes back. Now, I think that's what the Demko camp was told, and then obviously if you have a $25 million contract on the table, you're not going to be like, well, I'm just going to wait until my goalie coach gets signed. Like, you're going to sign that deal regardless. So I'm not trying to say that Demko signing it means that Clark is coming back. I am saying that there is a chance because of him asking about Clark and then signing the deal. But like I said, I get the sense that all Demko's camp was told is exactly what we've been told. And that's from Jim saying, we're going to do everything in our power to get Ian signed. And that's what they want to do. They want to bring Ian back. And when I say they, make sure that you understand that I mean the hockey ops department. I don't mean ownership. I mean the hockey ops department.
I think that it's a very much different situation for Green and Clark both, right? Like, I give it, my idea is that 5% for Clark to be back, 50-50 for Green still. That, you know, there's a reason behind that, because I think that Ian Clark's a specialist coach, right, who does a lot. Like, you've brought it up a lot about how his drafting has been so huge for teams.
Yeah,
you know, his evaluations of potential draft picks that are goaltenders. Clark does an incredible job for an organization for that. He's not just doing that. He's giving Adam Gaudette tips on shootouts. You know, he's got a full goalie plan from the AHL down to his prospects. He's working close with Curtis Sanford. I'm sure he's got constant contact with the guys that were overseas and Arthur Seelos in the past. Now, obviously, in North America and with him. But, like, this guy is a huge asset who can go wherever he wants.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to be a goaltender coach, can be a goaltender advisor, can be whatever they want to call their goaltender department, head of the goaltender department. I don't know what they call it down in Florida, but, you know, they have certain things like that. I just think that for him, it's like, you got to show this guy a level of respect, you know, for what he's done, what he is, what he's going to continue to be. There needs to be a high level of respect shown to Ian Clark. And unless a deal's been done behind the scenes for a long time, it's not happening over the next month to me.
Yeah.
The only thing, and I've said this for a long time, the only reason that I think it might be different is just because of the world that we're in with COVID, that maybe that is slowing certain things down. But, you know, Francesco Aquilini's got a lot of money. He can pay Ian Clark.
Well, yeah.
He should pay Ian Clark.
Yeah.
But he's, I just don't think you're at the point, if it's not done now, if it has been done behind the scenes for a long time, I don't think that any negotiation is going to please Ian Clark at this point. That's just what I get to read off the situation.
If I'm a betting man, Chris, I'm saying Ian signs in Toronto. That's the team that I think he's going to sign with. Because
I like my Rangers one earlier.
Toronto's had a... Well, that's what you said about Travis. You think Travis and Ian go
to the Rangers? No, I think Ian's more likely to go there. That's what I was saying earlier.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, sorry.
Ian Clark to the Rangers.
I was saying Travis goes to the Rangers. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no.
Toronto.
I think Toronto. Because you look at the goaltending situation in Toronto, Freddie Anderson's just hasn't found it as he had in the first couple years with Toronto. And Jack Campbell's looked great, but that's a team with not a ton of goaltending prospects coming through, and that's just another thing that Ian can really help you with, is identifying talent and really developing these guys. And man, when you take into account that the Marlies are right across the street and Ian's going to be able to work with these guys directly, and hell, that's all the more reason to keep him in Vancouver, man. He's going to get... Okay. Mikey DiPietro is going to be able to get games in next year and work with Ian Clark at the same time. Ian's going to hop on the Trans-Canada Highway, head down to Abbotsford, and work with Mikey DiPietro. Like, that's a good situation for Mikey. That's a good situation for Ian. That's all the more reason to keep him. I didn't even think of that before.
Yeah,
but
I didn't think about it. That's a really good point. Like, having him, what did we want all the past year? Like, oh, at least he's with Ian Clark instead of playing
games. Now he can get both.
Now he gets 40 starts.
Yeah.
You know, probably 30 starts, probably get some NHL games next year. But 30 plus starts in the AHL, plus as much time as possible with Ian Clark at practice.
Even Seelofs, same thing. He's going to...
Oh, that's got to be the tandem next year in Utica, right?
It is, for
Seelofs
sure.
And
yeah, Kylie's...
That's an exciting team.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you're probably going to have Gadjevich there next year. Captain Tyler Grayback, potentially.
Yes.
You know, maybe he's there, but...
Mr. Abbotsford. Abbotsford, Tyler Grayback.
Yeah. Mystery, yeah. I thought you were going to say someone else might be there, but his contract's probably going to be bought out instead or whatever. We'll see what happens. Aside from that, I just wanted to get a quick wrap-up before we get to break. We're going to talk Höglander on the other side. We'll talk about your article in the first half, my article in the second half of the episode.
Yes.
But I want to close out with some hype. You love your Rathbone hype, so go off a little bit here. We haven't talked since the power play. Like, the day that Jack Rathbone hopped into the first power play unit with the Vancouver Canucks. It happened. I tweeted in all caps because I was so blown away. He was out there on the first power play unit playing in the Petter zone and looked good. That first power play was the best power play that I've seen in a long time from the Vancouver Canucks. He was firing shots. He hit the post later in the game. You know, Rathbone looks good, and now given the opportunity, the pairings have been switched up. All season long, we've seen pretty much the exact same pairings with, you know, a guy being slid out with Jordy Benn here and there, you know, Olli Alevi coming in for a few games, but we haven't really seen the pairings get flipped until Rathbone has kind of forced the team to think of him as a top four for the remainder of the season here. So, I don't know, Quads, go off from what you've seen from Rathbone.
What's there to say? He's been fantastic, and I am accepting apologies to those who angrily tweeted at me that Olli Alevi needs to be in the lineup and got mad at me about saying that Rathbone needs to be in the lineup over Alevi. Like, looking back on that take, I didn't even think it was going to age as well as it did. I thought Rathbone would be a bit better than Alevi, but man, there is nothing that Olli Alevi's better than Jack Rathbone at. Nothing. No, your in zone defending. No, it's not.
He's taller.
No. Okay. Whatever. He's better at being taller. You're right. But no, there is literally nothing. Rathbone has better in zone defensive awareness. He's better at gap control. Literally everything. He's better than Alevi at. And I'm gonna die on this hill.
Have you liked it since we've seen a switch from Tyler Myers to Hamonic as his partner?
I like it. I mean, Yeah, it's kind of what you were saying.
It's hard to watch the games right now, but
yeah,
that's the one thing that I'm kind of attaching myself to.
Yeah, if you're a Canucks fan and you're still watching all these games, props to you. Because if we weren't like doing this for work, I don't know if I'd be watching the game.
Last night, so we're recording this on Wednesday. We're going to have this out for you guys on Wednesday. But Tuesday night's game, Canucks Twitter, nothing.
Yeah, it was dead, man. It was
crickets
dead.
The
it was
whole night.
Just the Canucks Army account.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, 5-0 game. You kind of expect that. If it was a 5-0 game the other way around, maybe. But
talking about mayonnaise on blue cheese.
Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't tried it.
I haven't tried it either. I didn't know that was a thing that people did.
And then somebody told me that don't use Miracle Whip because I'm a Miracle Whip guy. Mm. I like mayonnaise, but I like Miracle Whip better. I think it's got a nice little tang to it. Little zing for the sandwich.
Never had Miracle Whip.
The good mix is Miracle Whip and a little bit of pepper on a sandwich. It changes it a lot.
Interesting.
One of my favorite sandwiches growing up, and we'll go off the rails here a little bit. One of my favorite sandwiches growing up was my best friend in elementary school, Chad. Still one of my best friends today. Probably Chad. Be the best man at my wedding. Chad. Total Chad, too. Loves the gym. but his mom used to make us these sandwiches, and they were just white bread, Miracle Whip, cheddar cheese, like old cheddar cheese.
Okay.
Cucumbers and salt and pepper and Miracle Whip on the other end. Oh. It was some of the it's just a refreshing sandwich.
Really?
It was a cheese and cucumber sandwich, but the key was the salt and pepper. Like, I didn't put salt and pepper in my sandwiches. Still don't, but like,
yeah, no.
I haven't had one of those in a long time, but you slice the cucumbers very thin. You get some nice, good cheddar cheese and Miracle Whip and then salt and pepper.
Wow. You know what I used to have in my lunches? My mom used to make this cream cheese with thinly sliced cucumber. Very similar to what you were just saying. And you know what? I don't like it now, but when I was a kid, I used to love having that for lunch. That was great.
Cream cheese in a sandwich is like a mistake that some people just haven't tried it.
Yeah.
But it's the best thing you can have on one side of a piece of bread. Like, if you have a sandwich, you know, you put the mustard or mayonnaise on the other side, but the other side, you got to go, you know, the herb and garlic cream cheese.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good to a sandwich.
Yeah,
maybe a little crisp on the outside.
Yeah.
Very good. Wow. You know what I got for Christmas was this thing that it's a bag that goes in the toaster. So you take your sandwich, you put it in this bag, then you put it in the toaster. I don't know why. I don't know why you don't just, maybe because if you're making a grilled cheese and it's like the cheese is melting out, gets in the bottom of the toaster. This one just sits in the bag. So you can put like whatever you want and you just throw it in the toaster. The commercial had people doing steaks and I was like, I ain't putting a freaking steak in the toaster. Maybe I will. I'll just see what happens. But like, you can put whatever you want and all the stuff that leaks out just gets caught in this toastable bag. I've used it once.
Interesting. Why don't you just put it on a, like...
Well, that's the thing. That's how I've used it once. Like,
I bet it's Christmas
when it's not out. But anyways, what were we talking about there before we finished up, before we went on the sandwiches there?
Jack Rapp. By the way... We recorded, before this episode, a Patreon, Faber and Quads Shoot the Bleep, and we just talked non-hockey, and we just did that for about 5 minutes, but full half-hour episodes of us doing that. We talked about a lot of stuff today. It's going to be out tomorrow for our Patreon subscribers. We're going to post it tomorrow, but patreon.com/CanucksConvo, $5 and $10 tier, gets you all the bonus content, gets you... What was the thing that we just said that we were going to do? We said there was going to be some bonus content. I can't remember what we said.
Well, we're going to have a French toast cook-off.
We're going to...
I'm going to see how many home runs you out. Get off
you. Yeah. What else? There was one other... whatever. We'll figure it out. But yeah, lots of fun bonus content.
I said if the Canucks make the playoffs, I'd shotgun 12.
Yeah, so that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Literally, it's not happening.
Thank goodness. And we're talking to a new company, potentially.
Yes. Fun time to
fill our friends at Mike's, which we enjoyed.
We did enjoy that partnership.
I still enjoy the Mike's. They don't pay us money anymore, but I still love those Blue Freezes. They're good drinks.
Yeah.
Good folks over there.
Good time again to plug...
The Patreon.
Patreon.
Patreon.com/CanucksConvo. We'll head into the break here. But on the other side, we're going to talk Höglander because what he's doing at 5-on-5 is so damn impressive. I wrote about it. You know, we spent the first half talking about Quads' article. We'll spend the second half talking about mine. And Vasilipod Kolzin back on the ice. We'll get into that in the second half of the episode. You are listening to the Canucks Conversation.
All right. You guys all know about Parallel 49 beer from our commercials here on the show, and now we have a new announcement. Hello, Peach Bod. That's right. It's not all about the Beach Bod this summer. It's all about the Peach Bod this summer. This one's an interesting one, folks. A sparkling peach ale. So you're getting a beer with peach flavor on it, but it's also high in carbonation.
It's definitely a different one, and I highly recommend going out there and giving it a try if you're into a peach-flavored beer. And that's something, you know, I'm pretty damn into. I got to get out and try it myself pretty soon here. I will report back on the show about this. So go out there and try the Peach Pod for yourself from Parallel 49 Beer. Check them out on Instagram, at Parallel 49, as in the numbers, and then beer, that's Parallel 49 Beer. And be sure to check out their website for more information about how you can get beer through Uber Eats. That's right, through those food delivery apps. Uber Eats, you can get your delivery from Parallel 49 Beer. Be sure to check out their website, Parallel49Brewing.com. That's Parallel, the numbers 49Brewing.com.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
And a big thank you to all of our sponsors, and potentially, like I mentioned before the break, Quads, a couple more coming on board. Got some exciting local BC businesses that want to hop on board with the Canucks Combo, you know, reach our thousands of listeners and our thousands of followers on Twitter. We want to help them. We want to help them on Twitter. That's where we thrive, and that's where a lot of businesses just ain't cutting it. It's on Twitter. There's thousands of people there seeing tweets every day, watching us tweet about Rathbone and Huglander and that's it right now, to be 100% honest. The only things you're really excited for the team. But if you want to get involved with the Canucks conversation, you know, shoot us a DM. Shoot us a DM on Twitter. Send us an email. CanucksCombo@hotmail.com. We never use that email. Never even talk about it. But, you know, shoot us a message anywhere. Instagram, you can find us. Let us know. But want to get into some stuff. First, before we get into Huglander, I just want to get this out there. Jonah Gadjevich and Cole Lynn have to be back in the lineup on Thursday. Right, like Gadjevich has to make his debut. Cole Lynn needs to be back in the lineup. That, to me, that's an absolute must.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially
there's,
from what you just
saw. There's nothing to play for anymore, right? Like, yeah, I get Travis is still coaching for a job and he wants to win, but I don't know how much he's going to be judged on these games. Like, I don't know. I don't think a team signing was like, well, you lost those games at the end of the year when your
about
team was
game 54, Travis, of yeah, that year exactly. When you played Jonah Gadjevich over Matthew Highmore, not letting that go.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to come into negotiations, but I get it. Like, I don't know. He should be playing. Like, Jonah Gadjevich should be playing. They got to play
the kids.
You know
what? Lockwood should get those two games, too. We talked about potentially getting two games for Lockwood.
Why are you calling him up, making him quarantine if he's not going to play?
Well, AHL money, or I mean NHL money if you get him off. Or he's still in taxi squad, still getting his AHL salary.
Yeah, he is.
So, no. So he's got to get into the lineup. And, you know, Jonah's the one that you got to see just because of the big question about his game is, can he keep up with the NHL game? It doesn't take a lot of sample size to see if he can or not. He simply can go out there and skate and keep up with the pace of play, or he can't. It's going to take you a couple games to be like, there is a chance here. And maybe he can keep it up, or look, he just simply can't do it. You know, there's a couple options there. We talked to him last week, or I talked to him and didn't, it wasn't on the show, I guess it was just for an article, but you know, talked to him last week and he's excited for it. The guy's worked his ass off over the past 2 years now, more than anything, because I think he, you know, the quote that he said was he wanted to be that guy again for his whole hockey career. He was that guy and he just wasn't over the first 2 years of Utica. And he worked his ass off this past offseason. He's improved. He's absolutely improved and absolutely gotten back in the minds of Canucks fans when he was starting to become a forgotten thought. I remember him being number 14 on our prospect rankings, you know, a year ago, right? Like, that's just where he was. He wasn't progressing like a lot of people hoped. And then this year, 15 goals, 19 games. He's the Comets MVP. We put in our votes this week for the Utica Comets, all their awards. He was my MVP.
Who's we?
Well, all of us, the Utica media, and me.
You guys just do that?
Yeah,
that's
I get a vote. I get a vote for the
that
comments.
That is amazing.
Come on.
Wow, Utica media and me. I love that. That's amazing. Yeah, I'm excited for you to be covering Abbotsford next year.
Oh.
Because you'll actually
covering
be at the
or
games.
Doing color for them because, you know, I don't know.
Everybody's going to start the campaign.
The campaign's got to start. I think it should, like, do I need to start it now? And who do I tweet
see
at?
Why not? I don't know.
The I want to do color.
The mayor of Abbotsford.
Yeah. I've seen two tweets in the past week saying that, you know, maybe I should be doing color for them. I would absolutely be down.
Yeah, it depends who gets the rights, right? If 650 gets those rights, I don't think.
From what I've heard, you know, I'm in the industry, in the radio industry. What I've heard, it's the old country station out there.
93.7?
Not 93.7, a different one that's out in Abbotsford. Oh. There's a country station that plays Canucks games because 650s doesn't reach that far. So
what?
From what this is just what I've heard. I probably could be wrong, but I think that there's a country station out there, 101.7 maybe?
What the hell?
Yeah, out in Abbotsford. And I think that might be their broadcasting rights. Anyways, that's just what I heard, rumor. There's a country station out there that's not JRFM.
Okay, interesting.
Which... What do you speaking of Abbotsford and country music, what's your take on country music overall?
I need to be in a very specific mood to listen to country music. I'm not. I don't like country music.
So I've seen a picture of you sleeveless wearing a straw cowboy hat. Is that the mood?
That's the mood.
That's the mood. If Corona it's hot, in your hands.
Oh yeah. If it's hot, yes. If it's hot outside, I'm more in a country mood. I really like Chris Stapleton, who's really country. I don't really like poppy country. You know what I mean?
Like that's like, the one I like.
Yeah.
If I finished work, like back when I was at the mill, finished work on a Friday, there was two moods. It was either country music on the Friday heading home from the mill or Nickelback. And it was like, how nasty am I going to get today? If I'm getting sauced up, it was probably Nickelback. Like,
okay.
I would have a shower playlist that was three Nickelback songs, and I would drink three beers in the shower, like on Friday after shifts.
Wow. And
you'd be buzzing, ready to go after that. You're like, you're ready for the night. But then, like, you know, country, like the songs I know on country, like, if I had to make a top like 50 songs of my life, there's probably four country songs. Wagon Wheel's in there for me. I mean, I could listen to Wagon Wheel any day of the week. You know, a couple of Florida Georgia Line songs I don't hate. And there's a couple old school ones. I'd have to look at it more. Anyways.
Yeah, country's not really my thing.
Move on from country a little bit. But, you know, right time, right place. I'm down. But I'm not gonna listen to the station.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Unless I'm doing play-by-play for them.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, color. I don't do play-by-play.
Company man bad. Favor.
Yeah. Company man, absolutely. Yeah, you'll see this weekend. All right, I wanted to dive into Nils Höglander a little bit. Leads the team now in 5-on-5 scoring. The number one on the Canucks for 5-on-5 scoring. And just looking at his numbers from what he stacks up against the other super rookies that you want to talk about in Vancouver. I mean, Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, all three of those players Calder nominees, right? All three of them. It's pretty obvious. We still know that. We were hoping for a fourth this year. A lot of people didn't think it was going to happen with Höglander, and that's fair because we didn't think he was going to do this season. The way that he stacks up, he has a higher points per 60 at even strength than Brock Besser in his rookie season, higher than Quinn Hughes because Quinn Hughes gets all the power play points, and just a little bit shy of Elias Pettersson's rookie year, where Elias Pettersson outright went out and won the Calder.
Yeah.
Like, he was the best player in that year. But the interesting one was looking at some of the advanced statistics in their rookie years and seeing that Nils Höglander was not just like a little bit higher than everyone else in individual expected goals, but like 1.5 times as high as Elias Pettersson for expected goals at 5-on-5, higher than Brock Besser, who was a ridiculous sniper in his first year with that shot, and obviously way higher than Quinn Hughes just because he wasn't there. But that's why like Nils Höglander is just an analytics darling. Not only from what you see on the ice and the way that he works his ass off, but he's going to be one of those players where everybody evaluating him with the analytics background is going to say, like, this guy is a great player. He's going to be underrated still, no matter what performance he does. And I think that's a lot to do with just the way that his work effort, his work level and work ethic is just going to keep him always engaged in the play. We heard Travis talk about it. I got to ask him the question the other morning about it, and he just said, you know, like, when skilled players don't work hard, they're not the best players in the world. But when skilled players work hard, they're the best players in the world. That's as simple as that.
And that's where, for a guy like Travis, who, you know, he played the game, he does use the eye test, but also uses analytics. Harmon wrote a great piece about how Travis employs analytics and how he really likes to follow that. Like, Höglander is the perfect player for that because your eye test tells you that he's the first into every puck battle and he usually comes away with the puck. He's hard on pucks. He's, you know, he's everything you'd like to see from an eye test perspective. And the analytics tell you that he can be an elite scorer if given the right opportunity. And I honestly, like, this is a player that came in and I think was a lot better than we thought. And I think we have another one on our hands with Jack Rathbone. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse, two very pure Judd Brackett picks, might add that.
Yes. Jack Rathbone literally playing within a stone's throw of where Judd Brackett came from.
Yes.
Literally. He'd known him since he was a little kid. But yeah, we don't have to reopen
that. Yeah, we're not reopening that that can of worms.
All I wanted to say was, like, I have this thought here and there, and maybe we can explore it here a little bit, but every year, young players are better, right? Look at what they were in the 80s. Look at what they were in the 90s. Look at what they were in the early 2000s. Look at where they are now. What 19 and 20-year-old kids are able to do in the NHL. Be the best players in the world. You can have a 21-year-old player that's best in the world. I wonder if we need to go into that more, thinking that these young players can do more. Like, is it an old school way of thinking that this guy needs to learn and develop to before being a regular NHL player? Doesn't have to be the stars. Like, let's talk about Jack Rathbone for an example. You know, what happens if Jack Rathbone would have came into last season and put into the exact same role? Do I think that he's gotten that much better over the past year? He's probably improved. He's probably gotten better. But I bet he was doing a lot of the exact same things 1 year ago.
That's a good point.
I bet he would have been on the Canucks team right now and maybe looked a little bit smaller. Maybe, like, that's the only thing that I think these young players are. But with a guy like Vasily Podkolzin, there's not going to be a learning phase for this guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's going to come in. He knows how to play the game at a professional level. He knows what to do to play against men. He knows what the physicality is going to be like. There isn't as much, like, learning for these guys anymore, because, like, everything that they do is such a high level, whether you're junior hockey in Canada or if you're in the USHL or if you're developing with the national team or you're playing college hockey. Everything's so good. Like, everything is so good. I know that there was definitely things in the past, like, you know, 20 years ago, there was a lot of good coming out of Sweden and Russia that were very advanced compared to what you're seeing with junior hockey. And, you know, the thing that's taken the biggest growth is probably American hockey. Right, like what they're able to do now and what they did a couple years ago in that 2019 draft, that was ridiculous to have that many players selected in the first 16 picks. Like, I think that young players are better than we even think. Because, like, I watched a lot of Nils Höglander. I watched every game, you know, for like two full years. And I just kept thinking in the back of my mind, like, this guy's going to come into the NHL and be really good. But, like, I couldn't say that because it would feel like I was just being way too positive. But I think that that's happening more times than it isn't now. Like, look at Elias Pettersson. Look at Quinn Hughes. Everyone's always worrying about these things. But these type of players that have such high-end potential, a lot of them are hitting it. You know, a lot of them aren't really getting up to the level, like the top picks. But the guys that just seem to be the second tier, I think the second tier guys are actually better than a lot of people think.
Hmm.
Just because of how easy and how good the development that they've been given at a young age is. Like, I think that a lot of these guys are ready. You know, their draft plus 1 year, whatever they do or wherever they go, whether it's college or back to the SHL, I think a lot of them could really make a big difference. I think Tim Stützle is a great example of this. After he was drafted, everybody's like, you know, he's going back. You know, he's going to go play another year, then come over to the NHL, maybe need a little AHL. You know, Höglander is a great example of that. Who would have thought? Who would have thought he would have started on the top six and been a top six player all season long? I think that these young players, and this is my prospects report, but, like, I just think that a lot of these young players that prove it in their, you know, draft year or their draft plus 1 year, I think they should be given a little more props when they get to the NHL, because I think that everything, not only has the NHL gotten better, but I think that everything around the NHL has gotten even more better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think so, and, you know, these players, it's funny you bring up the thing about development and stuff and how they've improved with every decade. These players are getting world-class treatment when they're like 14, right? Like, more exposure. There's a reason Cam Robinson was talking about Connor Bedard last year when Bedard was literally 14. By the way, it was funny that you said that, because we're talking about how players come in younger and younger and they excel when they're younger now. What happens if you throw Connor Bedard into an NHL game right now? He's 15.
You know what? Like,
does he compete? Like, does Connor Bedard?
Of course he competes. Yeah. He competes. He wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't out physical a lot. He probably would, actually. Like, he would compete. Absolutely, you compete. Yeah.
Right?
And, like, you look at these guys at the U18s every year, and yeah, there's a lot of mistakes being made, because I think that's a lot of the thing that's missing, is just the teaching of what coaches' expectations are of these guys. That's the biggest thing for me, for a learning curve. But you let a kid go out there and play like Tim Stützle, he's going to play. He's going to produce. Like, these kids are too skilled to not produce. But can I give a little Connor Bedard thing? Obviously, absolutely. North Van.
Absolutely.
Vancouver product. The only NHL team he follows, the Vancouver Canucks.
There you go. It's written in the stars.
Hole in Eli Manning, Connor.
Written in
Don't
the stars.
Don't get drafted by anyone else. Say you want Vancouver and that's it. Let's turn this league into the NFL. Turn down draft picks.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I ain't going anywhere but Vancouver. Make the trade happen.
Who is the guy that the Grizzlies drafted that just said he was not going to sign in Vancouver?
Before our time.
Yeah.
Literally before your time.
Quite literally. Yeah, I think it was like 99 or something.
I was pretty young at the time, so it's a little bit much for me. That's, you know, I missed that. And, oh man, if I ever do get into radio, well, I already work for it. But like, if I ever get to like actually host a show instead of producing shows, like I need to touch up on my Vancouver sports.
You do?
Just history in general.
Yeah. Vancouver Canadiens.
Start with the Grizzlies.
What were they called before the Canadiens?
Cannons.
No. Vancouver Cannons were a PBL team.
All right.
They're the Mounties and the Capilano. No, not Capilano. Yeah, the Vancouver Capilanos were other team. Yeah,
I knew
Capilanos
that
and then Mounties, I think. And then Canadiens.
Favorite team to play in the BC PBL, Vancouver Cannons.
Yeah, I used to know the coach of the Cannons.
They sucked. They sucked so
bad. They folded recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
They folded. They cut me
once. We used to beat up on the Cannons.
Yeah.
And Victoria had two teams. When in our last couple of years, they got a second team. Victoria Eagles. Oh. Because Victoria had the Victoria Mariners. They were good. Victoria Mariners were good. We had a good rivalry with them from Nanaimo. Then Victoria got a second team, which basically was just a B team. And everybody smashed the Eagles. The Eagles would come out. Well, you know who pitched for the Mariners? Nick Pivetta.
Oh, yeah.
So you know him.
Yeah.
Boston Red Sox?
Yes.
So, yeah.
He's in their rotation. He's having a good year.
I used to play on teams with him. Team BC teams with Pivetta. And he was good. I'll tell Nick Pivetta's story. We used to play against Nick Pivetta in our 13-year-old year, which was smaller mounds, smaller fields. It was before he made the jump to BC PBL. Yeah. He was 6'4 when we were 12 or 13 years old. And this was like the transition from like Little League to PBL or JPBL. Yeah. It was just kind of like the in-between age. And you're 13, I think. This dude's like, whatever the mounds were a little bit closer, no chance to touch anything. This kid's throwing 80-plus from a smaller mound and like, it was between Little League and the real size. It was right in the middle.
Wow.
You had no chance of touching this kid. He threw like 7 no-hitters in the year. And like everybody knew that he was going. And I think he did end up leaving for a travel team like before.
Makes sense.
I think he played a little bit of PBL and then he was gone. Like everyone knew he was going to get drafted and he was going to be something because he was excellent. But then, you know, I made Team BC. You'd go up and meet him because he'd be on Team BC again. So it was nice to see him having success. Wonder if he remembers me in my pink glove from playing with him.
There you go.
Get
on the Red Sox Zoom call.
Did I ever tell you about the pink glove? Like, you've seen it.
No.
I ordered a red glove because our team was like yellow and red for the Pirates, right?
Okay.
And I wanted the red to really pop. So I ordered this red glove, and I'm expecting it to be red, like the water bottle I have here in front of me. A nice, dark, you know, strong red color. So it gets here in the mail, and it's like bright pink. And I got this when I was like 15. It's like bright pink with gray stitching, gray webbing, and I got a pink glove. And you've seen it, I think. You've seen my glove. It's very pink, and it got even more pink as the years went on and more sun went onto it. Now, I just love it. It's a nice little pink glove. So, I don't know. We'll wrap up with some hockey talk as well. Final couple things here. Just with Höglander, you know, we had expectations for him, and I think they were pretty high expectations for Nils Höglander, but it's crazy to think that, you know, to hear Travis talk about so much more being able for him to Höglander to grow so much more defensively. Like, I like his defensive game a lot. So Travis is probably seeing some things with his system or the way that he's positioning himself defensively that needs to improve. And to think that Höglander can get even better, that's an exciting thought for Canucks fans moving forward here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's going to improve, right? Like, he's going to improve at both ends of the ice. And that's going to be a major boost to this Canucks team because next year, I think there's a very real possibility that we see a Höglander, Horvat, Podkolzin second line, and Pearson's in the bottom six. And I don't hate Pearson in the bottom six. If you get a real third line center that can actually distribute and play some tougher minutes and, you know, be defensively sound, that's not a bad third line. It's probably the best third line the Canucks have had in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think they're going to be able to go get a third line center. I think that's still going to be a gaping hole for this team, and that's probably... Like, what do you think needs to be addressed more? The third line center position or getting another defenseman?
I think it's a 3C because I think that you have...
I agree.
Guys that carry pairings now.
Yes.
Like, you have Quinn Hughes, carries pairing. You have Jack Rathbone. If you want to believe that he can carry a pairing, then you just need a support guy. Like, that's the thing I've been on for a long time over the past couple months, is just defensemen, you just need one guy who's the puck mover and one guy who's the supporter. You know, and if you can have a different situation, but, you know, anyways, we'll get into that another day. But, like, with the prospects, I think Vasilipod Colson is going to have a bigger impact on a game than we've seen from Nils Höglander this year. I don't know if he'll be the 5-on-5 point producer that he is, but I don't see why not. I think he's a great playmaker, and I don't know. I've beat this horse to death about Pod Colson, but I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And like people, I said it again, like people like Rathbone, people like Nils Höglander, I think that everyone's going to like Vasilipod Colson even more because he's going to be everything that we see from Nils Höglander. But he's going to be more physical. Like, he's going to bring a lot. I love the idea of Pod Colson potentially being with Petey and Besser on a first line as early as next season.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree. I think that's going to be great for the Canucks.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what they want to do with JT Miller. But, man, does that ever give a chance? If you want Miller to be your 3C and you think that answers some questions and you can fill it in with some wingers, Pod Colson up there with Petey and Besser makes a lot of sense to me. But it also, you know, like you brought it up, the Höglander, Horvat,
Pod Colson
line.
Yeah.
That's a tough line to get the puck off of.
Oh, it is.
It's a tough line to have the puck against. You know.
You know what else I think Pod Colson's going to bring to the team that's not being talked about a lot?
Penalty killing.
Well, not only that, but the other special team. I think he's going to be good on the power play because he's going to be a guy who's really good at retrieving the puck. I don't know if you remember this, but with the 2011 team, Ryan Kessler's role on that power play was to, if they missed the net or there was any sort of potential turnover of possession, it was Kessler's job to go in, get the puck, and snap it back to one of the Twins. And Kessler's talked about this. They used to practice that. Like, in practice, they would go... Someone would dump the puck in the corner, or a shot would go wide, and Kessler would have to go into a board battle with one of his teammates and just practice blindly snapping it to a Twin and knowing where they are and that sort of thing. And
I've been saying it for years. That's my comparison. A lot of people say Mark Stone is what Pod Colson can be. I've been saying it for years now. It's Ryan Kessler as a winger.
Yeah, but that's Mark Stone then. Mark Stone's a winger, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying, just let me have this one. I've been saying, you just brought up Ryan Kessler because what Ryan Kessler does in the power play.
Yeah.
That's where the first things that I saw the comparison with Pod Colson and Kessler were. I said, like, wow, that's, you know, the way that Kessler was able to not only be a net front presence, but still continue the cycle and still be a passing option. Like, that's what Pod Colson does on the power play.
But isn't Mark Stone Ryan Kessler but a winger?
Listen, man, Mark Stone didn't play in Vancouver, okay?
Fair.
Not everyone's watching Mark Stone every night.
Fair
and
enough.
Gets the comparison.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like your little comparison there. That was a good one. Yes, I think he's going to help on both special teams units. And yeah, the other thing about special teams that I just wanted to quickly touch on is having four guys who are all pretty good offensively, that helps the power play. Because, you know, putting Rathbone on that first unit, I think Green really likes that. I think he really liked that. And I think next year you probably see Tyler Myers off the second unit or Nate Schmidt, because once Pedersen comes back, obviously.
Yeah. He's back there.
Exactly.
So. Quinn ain't coming off.
Quinn's
on. Now to know that Jack can fill in if there's an injury.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You like that a lot too.
You do.
There was something I wanted to close out with. I can't remember what it was. Now I feel like an idiot because we're just going to have to end the show at this point.
Glad you brought it up.
Yeah. Well, there was something that was good that we were going to finish with.
Betting segment from our friends at Odd Shark. I'll carry this while you think about it. Yeah, you think
we're really
there.
Hard here with my brain.
Yeah. Our friends at oddshark.com, go check them out. You can find a lot of different betting trends, and the MLB season's up. Nick Pivetta, that's the player I'm going to highlight right now. 35 innings pitched, Chris. 36 strikeouts over 35 innings pitched. Take the over on Nick Pivetta. He's 5-0 with a 3.19 ERA. Those are some pretty solid numbers. 28 years old, from Victoria, BC. Go take the over on Nick Pivetta, Boston Red Sox starter. Go take the over on strikeouts there. That's a good bet. Okay. Glad I carried that segment. Well, ooh, check out oddshark.com.
Yes, thank you. I listened to all that. We're going to have a little Odd Shark with Ian up here soon, too.
Good.
By the way, that's probably the segment name for like the betting segment. We'll do the betting segment when it's you and me, but when Ian comes by... Odd Shark with Ian. Sounds good.
Odd Shark
with
Ian.
To it.
I like it.
Two things. First thing, the intro. Let's close out with this. We got a 3-star review, Quads.
We did get a 3-star review. Like
not, it's
really
not
alarming.
The only 3-star reviews we've got is that you're average.
Yeah.
I say absolutely too much. And now the intro is too long, which it is. Now that we're back in the studio,
it's a little long.
We listen to it and we're like, wow, we have to press play because we don't want to edit it in. It takes. So the intro is going to be changed.
We're
going to
make it 30 seconds. Someone suggested.
We're going to make it under a minute.
Okay. Because someone suggested, they're like, if I'm driving, it's not easy to skip
that. Which is fair.
And I totally get that. I sympathize with that
person. Listen, I listen to a lot of podcasts while I drive too. I'm with you there. You know, Sakaris and Price, I'm listening to that. I got a 4-minute ad thing in the middle.
Yeah.
And I don't text and drive, so I'm there listening to Brooke Ward with the business report. And we're going to work on the intro. We're going to change it. But our friends at Wise Young Blood, the band that plays our intro right now, new music coming. We talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago on the show. We're going to wait for one of the new songs to drop. We're going to listen to the album. We're going to pick a song. You know, we're not going to pick a mainstream song. Well, we want to go with one of our local guys.
Yeah.
Support the boys. Me and Kyle, their lead singer, used to be defensive tackles together back in the day at NDSS football. We want to support them. Good dudes. Been to a few of their concerts back in the day. So we're going to change the intro. Anything you want to add to that? Because I have one more thing to talk about.
No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be shorter. It's going to be good.
Good. So this might be the last time you hear Quads talk for a full week. Because there's the other thing that we're talking about.
Wisdom teeth surgery.
Yes. Which is funny. So you sent in this to our BCIT teacher that you weren't going to be able to be there, or you weren't going to be able to talk on Monday and Tuesday because, you know, you're worried about what it's going to be like with after wisdom teeth. You're getting all of them taken out?
Bottom two.
So so not
growing in sideways. One of them's growing in sideways.
Okay, so yeah,
which I heard is like a week recovery before you can like talk.
So we'll see with that. But the funny thing is, like, the way that the teacher at BCIT that you talked to said that you weren't going to be there made it sound like really bad. It's like David's got a surgery that he needs to go do on Friday. And it's like, well, he's not like getting like
open heart surgery,
a cancer lump taken out already. Yeah. Like open heart surgery, like you said, like. It's getting, wisdom teeth. You're not going to die.
Yeah.
Crazy if you did.
You don't know. You don't know that, Chris.
But what we're going to be doing for the show, very exciting. I tweeted about it the other day. We got a lot of draft people coming on the show. A lot of draft scouts. We got Alexa, Dylan, JD, Cam, and Craig Button as well. So we got a big crew of folks still working on getting maybe even a couple more names as well on the show. But it's going to be an old school edition, Quads. Like back in the day, old Canucks Convo, and I used to want to learn more on a subject, I would bring some of the experts in. And that's what we're going to do for this NHL draft. One of the things that I'm going to try and do, and I hope I remember this for each of the interviews, but because it's such a weird draft and because nobody really has the same top three, I'm going to ask each of our guests to give their 1, 2, and 3 pick for the draft.
That's a good idea.
And I think it's going to be kind of cool to see how different it is because Owen Power seems to be everybody's number one. But I'm interested to see because I know that Alexa, she's very high on Fabian Lucell, guest of the show, friend of the show. And I know that Dylan does a great job covering KHL guys and Russian prospects. So we're going to have a good talk about Vasily Podkolzin. It's not all going to be NHL draft. Alexa's going to be great to talk about Nils Höglander as well. Then obviously with the local ties with Cam and JD with Vancouver Canucks. So we'll get into a lot with them. And then Craig Button from TSN, director of scouting at TSN over there. Craig Button's going to join us. He was at the U18s doing the play-by-play call for them. And he's going to join us on this weekend show as well. So, man, I don't think anyone's going to miss you, Quads, because we have got a good lump of fill-ins for you. So
yeah, it's okay. I won't be missed, I guess.
You're going to be all drugged up listening to the show, thinking it's you talking.
Yeah, it'll be fun to listen to the show and not be on it. That'll be a nice little break
off for you. And I think I'm getting a week off at the end of the month. So
yes,
you're going to have to try and top what I'm doing.
I'm bringing Harmon on. People love Harmon. Harmon and I are good together. It's going to be
Harmon episodes. They put up numbers.
They do. I might even get Harmon in studio, depending on numbers. And I don't. This is a fun way to end the episode. Bonnie Henry just announced all adults in British Columbia will be able to book a COVID vaccine appointment by the end of next week.
Wow,
that includes me, Chris, and Harmon.
Young Quads, young Harm.
Yes,
you guys are going to be up in the studio, all vaxxed up, still 25 feet apart.
Of course.
I wonder if people notice that like I'm yelling across the room to you, but you have the headset on so you can hear. Okay.
Yes. I'm getting a phone call. You keep talking.
Sounds good. Well, we're actually going to wrap things up. Not much more talking to do here. So we'll wrap things up and appreciate everyone tuning into this week's episode of the Canucks Conversation. Like I said, we'll see you this weekend with a bunch of great guests on the show. So for David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber. Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.